Now I'm afraid. Fear's not my future. Brandon Lake and Chandler Moore. Wonderful song. You know, we're continuing our series, Paper Tigers. And we've said paper tiger refers to something that seems powerful and intimidating. But in actuality, it's very weak, ineffective. And I know sometimes when we're going through challenges in life, they appear daunting initially, even overwhelming at first. But with God, they are ultimately powerless. And I'm going to suggest to you that they're paper tigers. And today, what I want to do is talk about some areas where I believe fear is ferocious. It's a fear that holds people captive, robs a lot of people of hope and peace and joy, and too often steals people's futures from them. It's a fear that will reduce life to simply surviving. It's a fear that if you are not careful, what happens is you will start living life with kind of a worst case scenario about everything kind of perspective. And I think it's why Jesus reminds us when he said this in John 10:10, he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He's talking about the evil one, Satan. He says, I came that you may have life and have it what? Abundantly. You know, Jesus didn't say, I came that you might be able to endure and get by in life. I came that you might develop a worst case scenario about, you know, having a mentality about everything in life and just merely surviving. No, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Christ followers, fear is not in our future. It is not a part of it. It's not supposed to be. And today, I'm going to invite you to say goodbye to fear, goodbye to guilt, goodbye to shame, goodbye to pain, goodbye to the grave, and say hello to peace and joy and love and strength. Say hello to hope in life because it's a new horizon in Jesus Christ. You know, because of Jesus Christ, fear is not in our future. And before we jump in, I'm going to give you a new definition for fear. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. That's fear. And I want to challenge you to replace that fear with some facts and with some faith. You know, the psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You know, Dr. Martin Seligman, he's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. He studied tens of thousands of people and came to the conclusion that optimists, positive people, live longer, have better health, that they're happier and actually accomplish more in life than people that live in fear, people that live with kind of a negative bent on life. And the fact is, people like to be around positive people. That's just a fact. I think that's one of the drawing pieces of Faith Fellowship is we're predominantly a very positive church. We emphasize the good news. And I truly believe there's enough bad news in the world, wouldn't you? And so, you know, that's something that we work really, really hard at. And I think part of it is if you spend a few minutes on social media, not during the morning while I'm talking, okay? But you spend a few minutes on social media or looking at the latest trending news, I think it's really easy to develop a worst-case scenario mentality about life. And so I personally believe that the last thing people want to come to church for is to get more bad news. And I've never understood it because God's word is jam-packed with good news, great news. I believe Christ followers should be the most positive, optimistic people in the world. In fact, a pessimistic Christian. What would you call that? Okay, I'll go with moron, but I mean, you know, it fits, doesn't it? It's a little insulting to God. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote the book of Romans. It's a great read, by the way. You have to take it slow, but the first seven chapters of Romans addresses life without Jesus Christ. And then chapter 8, it's known as the transition chapter. And Paul begins to talk about life in Jesus Christ. And he uses a key phrase, especially in that chapter, but really in all of his writings, in Christ. In Christ. It's his favorite term for Christ followers. In fact, he'd use it 164 times in the New Testament. In Christ, the perspective on the future changes. You know, when you're in Christ, the perspective on life begins to transition and you think different. In Christ, I believe, should impact how we deal with fear, how we see the future. It should impact how we live. And so I want to look at what life in Christ should be and how it should impact various areas of our life. And we're going to kind of jump around a little bit because in Christ, fear is not our future. You know, in Christ, it is possible to live without the fear of condemnation. I'm just going to start with that front and center because I have watched people through the years that have allowed guilt and shame to destroy their future and destroy the people around them. You know, and here's the truth, Christ followers. Romans 8:1, Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that Greek word that's translated no is the strongest word that Paul could have used. It's an emphatic no, no. It means in Christ, there is absolutely, positively no condemnation whatsoever. In Christ, God does not condemn. That's a hard one to grasp, I think. I think people, Christians, we do this. We intellectually, we go, oh yeah, okay, so he doesn't condemn. But emotionally, it really seems too good to be true. Well, surely God noticed that and is going to hold that against me. If you are a Christ follower, you're in Christ. And when you blow it, and you will sometimes, God doesn't get mad. God doesn't reject you. And so when you're inconsistent, God doesn't like read you the riot act or kick you to the curb. You know, when you sin, God doesn't hold a grudge or stop loving you. Why? Why not? Because your sins were paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ. We're in Christ. You know, John writes, he says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's one condition there. I don't know if you catch it. One thing you got to do to meet that. And that is, you had to give your life to Jesus Christ. You can't earn salvation. I know some of you think you can, but you can't. You just accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You go, well, that's pretty easy. Well, it's a big step. In Christ, there's no condemnation. It's a fact. You can take that home with you. And what blows my mind is some of you have decided you're going to live life with this enormous guilt and shame in your life. In fact, I watch people, they allow shame and guilt to just steal the future. Take it from you. Because it's the, well, I should have, I could have, I would have, you know, I should have got that right. Constantly beating yourself up about what? The past, about failures, about mistakes that you made. And some of you won't let it go. You won't forgive yourself, much less accept the forgiveness of God that's available. Remember, Cindy and I, we were in Israel. I mean, this is years ago, but we visited a church, and I said, how do you translate that? Because I just couldn't put it together. And they go, well, it's Church of the Flogging. I know a lot of churches like that. You know, people go to church, and you get beat up. And in fact, I know people that when they go to church, if they don't get beat up, if they don't get verbally dressed down at some point, they just are disappointed. They're like, ooh, pastor's message was really good today. I feel so bad, you know. It's a little masochistic in my opinion. But God, through Jesus Christ, made it possible for us to live without condemnation. And friends, even if there wasn't a heaven, I think it would be worth being a Christ follower just to have a clear conscience in life and to live with no more guilt and no more shame. Please understand this. It doesn't mean that in Christ you don't make mistakes, all right? You do, and I do. It doesn't mean that you don't fail from time to time. In fact, it doesn't mean you don't sin, because we all do. Obviously, we all make mistakes. We all sin. We all fail. We're not perfect, right? But we're forgiven. We're forgiven. There is, therefore, no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. And to be honest, I could stop right here today. We could all go home, and that fact alone would change our futures. It's reason enough to be positive about the future. But in Christ, also, it's possible to live with freedom from fear, about being dominated by something, by living in these prisons that sometimes people choose to live in. Paul, he'd go on, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has what? Set you free. I mean, set you free from what? The law of sin and death. You know, and here's a fact. When the Lord is in control of your life, you do not have to be controlled by anything else. You've been set free. You know, people constantly complain. They're like, oh, life's out of control, you know. I just can't do this. I can't get over the hump, so to speak. You know, I try to do the right things, and I always do the wrong things. And what's wrong with me? And we get caught here. But the fact is, you can overcome. And maybe it's just the way you're thinking about things, the way you're acting in your life, maybe responding, how you're responding to that habit or that gossip or the drinking or the eating or the drugs or the sin, whatever it is, in Christ, there's freedom from those things that you think have you bound. And so I might ask you today, what's controlling you these days? And I know as I ask that, for some of you, you're like, not really sure. Well, it's whatever you think about the most. That's what's in control. You know, Paul writes, he says, to be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Everybody here, every person, we are controlled by something. You know, either your own nature, Satan, the evil of this world, or the Lord. And there's something I have figured out, and it's really quite amazing the more I let God control my life, I have more freedom. I experience more joy and hope. So if your marriage is spinning out, you give it to God. If you're struggling with your job, you hate every day you go in, can't stomach it, give it to God. Finance is a mess, give it to God. Do you see a trend here? With God, it's possible to rest in His control. I mean, with God, it's possible to live without being dominated by the world or things in this world or by some weakness that you have. You can gain control and you find freedom when you give things to God, whatever it is. You know, in Christ, it's possible to overcome the desperation that we experience so many times when you're being overwhelmed by fear. You know, don't raise your hand, but anybody discouraged these days? Life is not easy. It's not. Never has been. God did not promise that you would have a stress-free life, a problem-free life. That's really a misunderstanding people have. Oh, if Christ is Lord of my life, I won't have problems. No, not so much. In fact, Henry David Thoreau, I think he was right. Most people live lives of quiet desperation. We keep it in here, up here. There are seasons in life. Some of you might be going through it right now. And you just question things. You know, what's life about? Why am I here? Why me? This isn't fair. I mean, sometimes the seasons get so tough, you're like, enough's enough. Uncle, I give up. I quit. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation, and to be real honest, you're just clueless. Like, I don't even know what to say or do. It's so messed up. Now, it's a little bit, I heard about a three-year-old that was sitting at the computer, and they were hitting the keys and pounding on them kind of, and mom goes, what are you doing? I'm writing a story. Well, what's it about? I don't know, I can't read. Sometimes we're just confused about the story. Paul says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. It's in the future. You may be going through challenges today. Really tough times. It's just part of your story. You know, Paul tells us, he says, I've read the last chapter of your story. You win. You win in the end. And here's a fact. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we have hope even when there are problems, even when we're going through stuff that things go wrong and go haywire and are challenging and problematic. Even when they fall apart, we have hope because we're in Christ. It's interesting because Paul, he would later give us a couple reasons for hope. I'm not going to jump into them. You can read them later. But Romans 8:23, he says, we have hope because someday we're going to get a new body. Now, the older I get, the better that news sounds, you know. And then he says in 8:26, he says, when we're going through these trials and these problems and we're being overwhelmed and we're not sure how to even navigate it, the Holy Spirit begins to pray for us because we don't know what to do. And friends, that one gives me a lot of hope. See, in Christ, you don't have to fear the challenges that you're facing. Now, I don't want to make light of them. They get you sometimes. But you don't have to fear them. Paul writes, he says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Christ followers, if you could grasp that, it'll change your life. It'll actually make you an optimist in the midst of the struggle. It's another one of those facts. God works all things together for good. He brings them together. Notice it doesn't say all things are good. The fact is, there's a lot of bad stuff. It doesn't say all things work out the way you want. It doesn't say all things will end happily this side of eternity, because they don't sometimes. It says, we know. We don't hope, we don't wish, we don't desire, we don't think, we don't imagine. We know absolute confidence, Paul says. We know what? What do we know? All things work together for good for those who love God. What's that include? Losing a job? Yes. An illness? Yes. Divorce? Absolutely. Financial difficulties? For sure. You know, loss of a loved one? Absolutely again. All things work together for good. Notice it doesn't say all things work together and you know, they work out good by themselves. It says they work together for good. They're interrelated to one another. Individually, you can have a lot of bad stuff. Some of you do. But God will bring them together in your life and work them in a way that it brings about something good. See, this is whole picture perspective that makes the difference. It allows us to see things. Anthony Robbins, his book, Awakening the Giant, he tells a story about a guy that was a drug addict and an alcoholic. He ended up serving a life sentence in prison for stuff he had done. And he had two sons. One son was exactly like him. Ended up drugs, alcohol, in prison for attempted murder. The other son was a good husband, good father, a regional manager of a major company, had been pretty successful. They asked both these sons independently from one another, why has your life turned out like this? Both sons gave almost the exact same answer. What else could I have done with a father like that? I love what Anthony writes. He says, it's not the events of our life that shape us, but it's the belief as to what those events mean. See, perspective. God even takes our mistakes, our misfortunes, our hurts, our pains, our sorrows, and God says, you know what, I'll use those to bring about something good. Can God bring good out of evil? Can God take our sins, those dumb decisions we've made along the way, and fit them into his plan? Absolutely, positively. I've seen God do it over and over. Bible's full of examples. You know, Moses and Sarah, Job and Joseph, Mary Magdalene, Peter, Paul. And my point is, God will even take your worst mistake, whatever it is, that thing you're thinking about right now, and weave it together and bring something good out of it. I think that's really, really good news, to know that you don't have to be perfect to be in God's plan, for God to do something significant in your life. Now, I want to be clear. When we make mistakes, we sin, there are natural consequences. There always are. But God will use it. He's a master at it. He's really, really good at it. Does it mean everything works together for everyone? No. It's a promise to believers, those who love God, you know, those who pursue God. See, in Christ, friends, we can conquer our fears during challenging times. Some of you are going through some challenges right now. I mean, when you face a situation and it's a big challenge or a crisis or whatever, what happens? Fear kicks in. And you need perspective. And here's the truth. What then are we to say about these things, these problems? If God is for us, who can be against us? See the implication there? Doesn't matter who or what is against you today. If God's on your side, one plus God, majority. God can do what God wants to do. I mean, have you discovered that wonderful truth that God not only knows you, not only that he's with you today, but get this, he's for you. He's for you. God's not trying to trip you up. He's not trying to make you miserable. He's not trying to make your life a mess. God wants you to succeed. That's good news. That's great news. The creator of this universe wants you to succeed. You know, I think that's a reason to be confident. If God is for me, who could be against me? I can stand strong. Fear, devastating emotion. I was kind of blown away. Do you know psychologists have identified 645 different kinds of fear? That's a lot of fear. Now, I break it down a little smaller. Some people fear failure. A lot of people fear the future. Some people fear dying or rejection or criticism, those kind of things. But the writer of Hebrews says this, so we can say with confidence, what can we say? The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? It's kind of a push-off there. That's why Paul, he reminds us when he declares this, he says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. The Greek, it's the idea of super conqueror, mega conqueror. You know, in life, we can either be a victim, lots of people choose that, or you can be a victor. You can either get swallowed up by your circumstances, overwhelmed by the problems that you face, or you can overcome them. You know, in fact, I do not have to be defeated by fear. Friends, if you keep your eye on the Lord, and here's the real struggle, keeping your eye on the Lord, there is victory down the road at some point. What have you been telling yourself these days that you could never, ever do? Stop it. Stop. Please, stop. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Confidence comes from God, not you, from God. God can give you the confidence. In fact, consider this. Paul says in verse 32, he says, God did not keep back his own son, but he gave him for us. If God did this, I love this, won't he freely give us everything else? There's some stuff kind of hidden in there. You know, God solved your biggest problem. Some of you didn't even realize it was a problem, maybe. But he did it when he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. In fact, everything else is minor in comparison to that thing, eternity. And the point is that Paul's trying to drive here is, if God loved you enough to take care of that huge thing, do you not think God loves you enough to take care of your problems, to take care of the situation you're facing? Paul, he says in Philippians, and my God will meet what? All your needs. Not some of them, all your needs, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Fact, God will meet all your needs. Not your greeds, okay? Your needs. It may be emotional. It may be a social thing. It may be financial, it may be spiritual, it may be physical. God will meet them. You find this promise over and over and over throughout Scripture of God promising that. And let me tell you, God has unlimited resources. Yours may run out. They will. But God's will. Fear is not your future, Christ followers. You can live with confidence that God loves you. He loves you. You got to understand that. You know, Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You know, Paul says, all these things, he's going to answer the question for us in the next verse. He says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ, through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depths nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's ours in Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a statement. Friends, if you grasp that, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll change the way you live. There is nothing, absolutely nothing that you can do, say, that will mess up your relationship with Jesus Christ. You will fail. You will make mistakes. You'll sin from time to time. You will stumble and even fall, maybe fall flat and spectacular for the world to see. But there is absolutely nothing that will separate you from the love of God because we're in Jesus Christ our Lord. God will never leave you. God will never stop working in your life to bring about something good. God will never, ever stop loving you. And this is my best advice to you. No matter what you're going through in this world, no matter what situation you're facing, try and be positive. Try and be optimistic, because you're going to win in the end. You're going to make it with God. You can make it. You know why? Because it doesn't depend on you. It depends on him. It depends on him. So how should we live as followers of Jesus Christ? I mean, how should we respond to life as a Christ follower? Well, Paul gives us a peek. Paul's in prison. He's writing to Christians in Ephesus. He says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord. See, he's making a point here. I'm in prison writing this. Beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. What does your life say about your faith? How do you respond to the challenges? How do you respond when fear tries to overwhelm you? And it does sometimes. Can I encourage you? beg you, plead with you. Lead a life worthy of the calling that God's called you to. Regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of the situation you face, regardless of the tigers that you may see or maybe hear, to just trust God. Find the positive side. Find the optimistic side. You know why? Because God's with you. God is for you. God is working to bring about something good out of this chaos that you're looking at. Some of you are merely surviving right now. And I'm going to be blunt. I don't really understand why you're trying to do it on your own without God. I don't. Breaks my heart. You know, we can't navigate this stuff without God. We need God in the midst of it. You know, just too many people fall back on that. See, in Christ, with God, you can overcome. Because that thing that you're thinking about right now, that has fear gripped you, I'm suggesting to you it's a paper tiger. Fear is not your future in Christ. I mean, for some of you, you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And you need to do that, because everything I've talked about in Christ, these are the promises. Some of you need to take that step of faith. You've been putting it off. Make today the day. You know, I'll be glad to talk to you after this service. It's really just saying, I don't understand everything, but I know you sent your son to die for me. And I know you love me. And I want him as my Savior. And I'll make you Lord of my life. And then you just start figuring it out after that. God has a plan for every single person sitting here today. And his plan is not fear. It's actually a great, great, wonderful future in the midst of it. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. God, I thank you for the promises in your word. God, I thank you for the marvelous way you work. I stand amazed, and there are many others here today that would say, oh yeah, it's my greatest failure that God did something really wonderful out of. It's my deepest pain, and God did this. And God, it's not that the pain was good or the failure, but it's what you did with it. God, I pray that we just trust you. And I know there are some, right now the fear is overwhelming. And I pray your Holy Spirit would just whisper. Help them not be afraid. To just trust you. Lean into you. God, I pray you'd bring a brother or sister alongside them. And that we'd start watching for what good you're going to do in the midst of it. God, help us to trust you. Even when everything in us screams don't. God, I thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. I pray you'd give every single person here today hope. because we're in Christ. There's victory possible. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. Let's stand. We're going to worship. Prayer teams will be down front. You need prayer this morning, come down and let them pray with you. Again, I always say this, maybe it's your first time here. You don't have to say anything. You just say, pray for me. You can say, pray for me. I got a job situation or health situation or whatever. But just let them pray with you. Where two or three gather, God's in the midst of it, and let them lift you up. Let's worship together.